Welcome to Alphabet Flight, an encyclopedic Marvel journey where I go through the official handbook of the Marvel Universe with my co-host here, and we talk about characters we know and love and have forgotten as well. My name is Art, and with me today is someone who is actually three people, and they all kind of actually suck. It's Perry.
Wow. Wow. You've seen right through us. How dare you? How dare you be so perceptive and aware of my three sides?
Which all suck.
Which all are terrible. That's right. Yep. We, all three independently of each other this week, kicked, pushed over, and robbed old ladies.
Oh, I lied. It's actually six of you.
Oh, well, all six of us did that then.
Yeah. So.
And each one of those old ladies, you would think that maybe they would have been Nazis. They weren't. Just regular old ladies.
Yeah.
Just regular ladies.
They all,
you know why?
Because
it's fun.
They all did immigrate from Argentina, immigrate to Argentina in the 40s from Germany, but it was actually like not because they're Nazis. It was because
nobody kept the actual records back then. Nobody cares. Nobody gives a crap. I don't give a crap. Do you give a crap?
I mean, I'm going to feel real sus when I see a German name in South America.
Oh.
Just in general.
You know what I do give a crap about, though?
B-sides?
I'm going to do this up top, too, just to remind people. Support the show on Patreon. It's patreon.com/alphabetflight. It goes a long way in keeping the show running. Put lines Art's pockets with your filthy, grubby little money, too. So, support the show, follow on social media, and play along on our bingo card as well as we go through characters each week, or each episode, rather. That link is in the description below. And it's a fun way to stay invested and to keep make sure you're paying attention,
yeah.
Steven. Stop doing whatever you're doing and listen to the podcast.
I mean, it's more for me, honestly, but, you know, it's whatever.
Look, I'm trying to sell it, okay?
Okay. But yeah, we're going to talk about the B-sides today. You know anything about them?
You know, I had a radio show in college named B-sides, and it was kind of like my proto podcast, except I played music on it, and like it was all like popular artists, but like songs that you didn't know maybe were by them, or like were actual B-sides to singles. And it was really kind of cool. I kind of like missed that a lot, and I wish that I was still able to do that. But, you know, what were we talking about?
Yeah, what do you think that the team B-sides are?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, you shouldn't. They had three issues. There's three issues. It's literally called the Craptastic B-sides.
Fantastic. Craptastic.
The creators for the Craptastic B-sides. Let me actually start. They first appeared in the Craptastic B-sides issue number 1 in November 2002. Otherwise known as 2002. And
as a normal way to say that. It's a normal way to say that.
Also known as Points of Interest. It had some creators. Brett Widdaly was an artist on it. Don't know who Cesar Automattei did, but you know, he was there. Joe Casada was the editor. Sam Keith did the cover, which we will be talking about, and I like it a lot. Brian David Marshall was the writer. David Sharp was the letterer, and Matt Madden was the colorist. What do you think about this cover? What's it look like? What's it doing?
Well, we got three characters on the cover in what looks like a Polaroid snapshot thing. It's kind of a selfie, though. Look at that.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I like it, too. It gives me, like, knowing that this is only a three-issue series, it kind of makes sense that the way that we are looking at these characters is through a snapshot. So it seems very appropriate at the very least.
Yeah, I like the cover art real well. It reminds me of Vertigo, actually. Mm,
okay.
Don't know how much Vertigo you read, but it reminds me of some of the Vertigo art.
Not a lot.
I've seen. Well, there's a lot of good ones. I would suggest Kid Eternity, both of them. They're both real good.
Nice.
One of them is like all watercolors and Kid Eternity going through hell. And then the other one is a couple of angels convince Kid Eternity to start a cult. And he has to get two people to make a baby so he can have a messiah.
Whoa, okay.
It's 19 issues. It's Baby Anastasia writes it. It's real good and weird. Also, do you know who Kid Eternity is?
I do not.
Oh, so this is a Golden Age character.
Oh, okay.
Essentially, this kid died on a boat accident 85 years before he was supposed to die.
Oh.
And God, or...
How?
Well, it was a mistake. God, or I forget who exactly, says, "Wow, we really messed up.
Oopsie, here's what we're gonna poopsie. Do.
We're gonna give you. We're gonna resurrect you, but we're also gonna give you the power to whatever you say, Eternity. You can summon like a ghost, like a spectral being, of any historical figure you might need. That also includes like mythological people as well, obviously. And it was just a Golden Age story that was supposed to be like somewhat also educational. But it turned into like boat accidents, kids. We get someone like Abraham Lincoln and stuff. Like, you know, it's like a whole thing. It was supposed to be history lessons. Also like mythology lessons. But like it turned into like a lot of weird stuff because it turns out you're messing with a lot of, you know, life and death and what that means, and you know, it got a little grittified. Also, Kid Eternity failing at his job was the reason why we got Final Crisis as well, because he was supposed to hold the door in for Superboy Prime.
Oh, okay.
Like he was the door, like literally the door for Superboy Prime to be stuck in his prison, and then but when Superboy Prime and the previous crisis hit reality. No, it was Superman. Superman punched so hard he broke reality slightly.
I thought Superboy actually did that.
One of the Superboy. It was Superboy Prime or Superman.
It was Superboy Prime,
Yeah, but one of them punched reality so hard that it made his job worse, basically.
Cool.
Like, he couldn't do it as well. So, you know. He's one of the reasons why Final Crisis happened, and I don't know why I'm talking about this. I just really like Kid Eternity. He's a really cool character. speaking of things, I don't know. Read some Vertigo. Okay. Some's good. You should read it. Wouldn't be surprised if it's on Libby or other things.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. Hoopla. Hoopla is the one for comics. All you need is your library card. You can sign in and rent comic books and read them on your phone. Support your local libraries. They do a lot. Like, for real. My call to action is to support your local libraries.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. Not just for books. Also for some place. Did you know some of them actually rent out AV equipment?
I did know that.
Yeah. Some of them will rent out. Some of them rent out equipment, like will rent out like video and audio equipment. Sometimes they'll even rent out like musical instruments. Some of them do. They also often have dedicated rec rooms where you could hold to get events together, including like, you know, D&D nights and stuff like that. If you're able to, get in time. Like, for real, libraries are
lots
great.
Lots of options. Lots of options.
Yeah, libraries are great in almost every way. Support them. Like, they're also like one of the reasons, only reasons why like most a lot of homeless people don't like die in the streets.
Yeah.
Like during the day anyway. Because it's a free space where they're not going to get harassed. Hopefully. Okay. I don't know. I don't. There's not a lot here. I guess that's why. Not much is grabbing me right now. So hopefully something does soon.
Here we go.
Let's see.
Can fingers crossed for another Bernanke.
My ADHD, that little bit that my ADHD meds are doing is wearing off because this is a 24-hour mark. okay, so the town of Raven Perch, New Jersey, has produced an unusually large amount of minor league superhumans, given its relatively small size. Captain Electric, Dr. Man, the Silhouette, the Shark, among them. Perhaps this is due to the presence of a secret Kree and Skrull colony in the area. Perhaps not. Local con artist Carly Huckle convinced a childhood friend, Kane Tucker, who can control the Dark Force, to become a superhero, Dr. Dark, like his aforementioned fellows. He soon departed for New York to build his crime-fighting career. Developing drinking problem, he seriously injured two policemen, now wanted by the law. And blaming Charlie, he fled back to Raven's Perch. I'm not speaking for Perry here, but I'm just going to say, you know, based.
Sure. Yeah.
He got away. He hurt some pigs and got away.
ACAB.
Yeah. So meanwhile, four super powered teens. I skipped over a thing. whatever. I'll do this later. I'll do it later. Well, the teams always mess me up a little bit.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, four superpowered teens graduated from Raven Perch High School. Fateball, Laura Rodbar, a skilled brawler whose toy Fateball can correctly divine the future. When they mean Fateball, it's like the Magic 8-Ball, basically. Then there's Jug Handle, Jesse Mituchin. Able to move himself and others through a temporary loop outside of time stream, where he can absorb the events unseen and untouched by those around him. That's a really, really good power. Like a really, really good power. Remarkably good power. I wonder how he's not going to use it properly. And then Mize, or Stuart Well, who can accelerate the decay and break down of nearby items. And Thiva Han, who's able to motivate and multitask. What?
That's so weirdly specific.
Oh, wow. It's almost like we have a spot for that.
What do you know?
I hope you heard the quotation marks, because that's what there were. She was offered a place in the Pegasus Institute if she could motivate her friends to ditch their graduation ball in favor of locating the mythical Nazi sleeper of New Jersey. A biosleeper, believed to be designed by the magineticist Armin Zola. The group found the sleeper stored frozen in ice inside an abandoned trailer a short distance from the freeway, maintained and defended by the Pineys, which are rodent-like creatures they believe Zola created as caretakers. They battled Piney, Mies, destroy the sleeper refrigeration unit, and the sleeper began to defrost. Panicking, Mies brought down a tree on top of the sleeper, shattering it. The trio angered to learn of Thiva's manipulation. Though she gained the institute position, she lost her friend. So basically, they were just used. Fearing Dr. Dark's revenge and seeing merchandising potential, Charlie Huckle convinced Fastball, Jug Handle, and Mize to form a local hero team, the B-Sides, or the Craptacular B-Sides, as Mize dubbed them, which he can manage. Providing them with team bowling shirts, he sent them on their first mission to capture Dr. Dark, who nearly invaded them before the Fantastic Four intervened. The Four came to Raven Perch to investigate the temporal anomalies caused by Jughead's powers and warned Jesse that repeated use of his powers might cause irreparable damage. And then they provided him with a drink that would alter his molecular structure and correct the problem. Jesse drank it, but Fateball, angered because she thought the FF was telling her friend that he could never use his powers again, berated the NYC heroes, not giving them a chance to explain otherwise. Before this misunderstanding could be cleared up, a fight broke out between the local Kree and Skrull factions. Both teams intervened, but it was Jughead who ended up fighting. Jesse then told the Fantastic Four to get lost again before Mr. Fantastic could explain that he resolved Jesse's problem. Charlie, meanwhile, claimed the bounty on Dr. Dark for the team and made sure to give the press the B-Sides joint credit for the day's escapades. The B-Sides have continued their adventures of small-time heroes on the edge of greatness, or not.
Man, okay. That was a lot of nothing.
A lot of nothing. I felt like it had a decent amount of potential.
Mm-hmm.
We're not super long yet, so I'll let me fill out my bingo card real quick, and I'll see if we have anything.
I don't have much.
I don't have much either. Yeah, I almost don't even want to do the bingo thing yet.
Well, let's not worry about it.
Yeah, let's not worry about it, because I got three spots out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to talk about is Jughead's power. The ability to step outside of space and time. Temporary loop outside of the time stream. So he could observe in events unseen and untouched by those around him. Holy crap, is that a really good power? Why was it that, I don't know, developed? Was probably because he didn't listen to the person who was trying to help him out to be able to use his powers.
Basically the power of omnipotence.
I wouldn't go that far. He can't be everywhere all at once.
Okay.
In one area.
It's the power of third person narration.
Yeah, it's like you're able to be a third person narrator. Basically, you're able to see the world around you without, you can't get into people's heads, but you're able to see the world around you.
Yeah.
Pair that up with you probably can't pair that up with I feel like you need to get someone with psionic powers, like maybe either post-cog or pre-cog powers.
Okay.
Really? Like, honestly, why are they being superheroes? Why don't they like become like a teen detective team? Well, besides Mize, who has the power to, well, he just has like a generally good destructive power,
right?
As if he could control it, because he can cause decay, rapid decay. So like, he just has a good destructive power. I don't know. I feel like they just waste powers. I think they just wasted powers.
Probably
good powers.
Probably.
Now that being said, they've been around for over 20 years now. It's 21 years almost. Like in 1 month, it'll be 21 years since their debut.
Wow.
And
what has happened with them since then?
Nothing has happened.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Now that being said, all it takes is one writer. It just takes one writer to, you know, bring them out of retirement. But like, I don't know. Maybe I need to read it to see. Read the series and see why it wasn't like nothing else happened with it.
It's just a lot of racial epithets and slurs. Yeah. You're like, how did this make it? Joe, like, Quesada, I mean, what are you doing?
It's also in New Jersey, so like they could definitely cross over with Miss Marvel.
Oh, it's in New Jersey. Okay, there we go. Now we know why it never got picked up. Well, because not New York.
But Miss Marvel is like in New Jersey.
No. She's basically New York.
Like, I feel like you could have a crossover with her. Like, maybe she could be like, hey, why are you using your powers this way? You could, or something. I don't know. I feel like there's potential. Also, Are they mutants?
See, that's my question, because they have the, I don't know, like specifically at the beginning of that, you said that this town produced superheroes, but from what?
Well, there's, okay, so there are Kree and Skrulls there. It could be that there's like some sort of background radiation, or maybe something, a mutagen was put into the like the water or something to that effect. That's real easy to explain. They don't have to be mutants. They could just be like slowly, they could be mutates. That's real easy to explain. But like, also Zola,
it's so vague.
Armin Zola was there as well.
Did you say Armin Zola?
It's no, Arnim, Armin isn't it? Zola. It's Armin Zola.
No, it's Arnim.
No, it's Armin.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's spelled A-R-N-I-M. Arnim.
You know what? Whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to respect his name. I've said it wrong my entire life. I don't give a shit. But like, he was there too. So like,
the character there's development.
Genetic, and like, and he also does like genetic experiments on people.
Right.
So like, there's a lot of ways you can say that they got their powers. They could have all got their powers in different ways as well.
Sure.
Like the Dark Force seems to just kind of find people through either mutants have the Dark Force as well as just like Cloak. He just says Dark Force. He's not a mutant. Unless it's in the mid-90s, then he's a mutant for like 19 issues of his own comic, and then he's not afterwards. He got those from weird drugs. Synthetic heroin. So, yeah, Dark Ooh. Force is kind of like a nebulous thing that anyone can kind of get.
Right.
That are mutated in some way. But, I don't know. Feels like they wasted good powers.
This screams editorial interference to me for some reason.
I really would have to read.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it seems like the proof of concept is there for a really good series, but I don't know. Something just feels off behind the scenes. Like, they didn't have the right leadership to make this as good as it could have been.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm up for like a team just full of dumb people. I mean, Great Lakes Avengers has been around.
See, that's
for
the thing. Like that's what it feels like. It feels like it was just like somebody just kind of came to Joe Quesada with that idea and like had it fleshed out, and then all of a sudden he was like, no, dumb people, unrelatable. You know, it's like all of our readers are super, they're big brains. They know what's up. We got to appeal to them.
This is the era of Marvel Knights as well.
You bad talking Marvel Knights over there?
No, this is the era of Marvel Knights.
You bad talking Marvel Knights over there?
I mean, I'm going to talk bad on Kevin Smith writing almost every single time.
Well, that's completely fine because he's kind of a trash writer.
He's a trash writer. Like,
yeah, sorry, not kind of. He is a trash writer.
Part of me wants to see if there's any interviews about this to see why it didn't go through. Cause like, it seems like it should have gotten at least like, I don't know, like another
two series. Yeah.
Like
six issues.
Like, I feel like it should have gotten another go. Like if Great Lake Avengers gets a series every 3, 4, 5 years or so, like,
yeah.
These guys could have it. Like, also, like, you could just make them, like, just a team of dumb teens. Like, that sounds like it'd be, you know, interesting if you
there's
got
so
the
many,
right person.
Yeah, there's so many options.
I don't know. Like, it just feels like they really wasted something. Let's see. I'm going to look at Wikipedia real quick. See if anyone, see if they got anything on the.
It's just going to be an article about my radio show in college. That's how popular it was.
I'm gonna see if this guy has any. Okay. Well, we're pretty much done. Do you want to do trivia?
I don't care. It's up to you. It doesn't sound like your heart's in it, so.
Not really. There's not much here.
All right.
Oh, okay. No, I'll do one thing.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, did you remember anything I just told you about? Did what were What did Fiva convince the B-sides to destroy?
The Tybees? Is that what they were called?
No, those are the people who were... And no, also you got that completely wrong. But
the Bites?
No.
Was it the Nazis?
It's something the Nazi women created.
Arnim Zola.
No.
Oh, I don't know.
I gave you one more chance. What was the other thing? What was the thing that took up like a third of this whole entry?
The Fantastic Four?
No, the Sleeper.
Oh, I said the Nazis.
The Sleeper, not the Nazis. There was no Nazis.
Oh, okay.
There was just a device made by the Nazis.
All right, I will admit defeat.
Okay.
This is the first trivia that breaks the podcast.
Okay. Well,
you don't understand.
You did the thing already. Do you want to do the thing again?
I mean, I'll just tell people to go support the show on patreon.com/alphabetflight and follow on social media at Alphabet Flight so you can see the characters we talk about on every episode. Leave a 5-star rating and review. It helps us out with getting up in the algorithm on the podcast app that you are checking out. If you are listening to this on Spotify as well, leave us a comment about what you thought about this episode. You can do that with every episode on Spotify. And also... have a good day. That's it.
Okay. Well, this has been Alphabet Flight, and may Conchi protect you through all of your night travels.
Bye.
Good night.